Hope everybody is doing their best right now as we're going through this crazy time in our world. I'm Tony Bruschi, host of Real Ghost Stories Online. I wanted to invite you and let you know about our other brand new podcast that we just launched, Help Kill the Time for You. It's called The Dark Side of Wikipedia. It's about true crime and dark history. We dive into some of the strangest, most disturbed minds and experiences from our history and examine their story, their Wikipedia entry, and then discuss the cases, the individuals, and the psychology of the events as we go through each and every story. Some of our first episodes include Ed Gein, the BTK killer, the New London school explosion, Amityville murders, Richard Speck, Amelia Dyer, the General Slocum disaster, Jeffrey Dahmer, and more. New episodes every single week. Check out Dark Side of Wikipedia. Search it. Subscribe wherever you download podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and more. It's available now with new episodes every single week. Dark Side of Wikipedia. Search and subscribe today and stay safe out there. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, a woman dating a salesman finds him in distress. Moments later, he perishes in her arms. Was this the last time they would ever see or touch each other? That's what we find out today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. You can, of course, write in at realghoststoriesonline.com or support our show, become an extra podcast person, an EPP. You sign up to do that at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. And you become an EPP, you get access to all of our bonus episodes, brand new ones for you every single week. You also get access to our archive of episodes, advanced episodes released to you weeks before everybody else gets their hands on them, commercial free as well. Our ebook, our audiobook, lots of extras there for supporting the program and helping to keep us on the air. Again, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to get in on all of that and become an extra podcast person. It's Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing well. Any zombie mink? You want to get some mink to add to the farm?
No, that's... That whole thing is disturbing. And I know that people are hearing about it weeks after. I mean, We're talking about it weeks after it happened. But yeah. It's just gross.
I don't understand it. I've read the stories now from several places where they put these things like 6 feet into the ground. It was a mass grave, but 6 feet is a deep hole.
Well, yeah. I mean, it said that it was 2 meters down. So yeah. That's the equivalent in America of about 6 feet.
Yeah. And these mink apparently getting COVID from people and then finding it being passed back to people, which is scary when the animals are, that means it's mutating. Mm-hmm. That means it's mutating from, because animals for a long, still, I mean, to this day have had COVID. It's a common thing in animals.
You go to the farmer's co-op and they have COVID medicine for animals.
Yes. But the thing is, animals have not been able to transmit it back to people.
Right.
And so to see that these mink that people were farming were then transmitting it back. And then the most disturbing part of it all, because viruses do that sort of thing. That's not the shocking part. What is the shocking part is they bury these things 6 feet down and then some of them started to get back up to the surface. Now, the story that's being said by the authorities is that, oh, it's gases in the decomposing bodies of the mink that made them float back up through 6 feet of soil.
Bullshit.
when there's been mass, this is not the first time there's been mass graves of animals or mass. I mean, there's been mass graves of animals, mass graves of people. When is the last time they started coming out of the ground? Other than like a flood or something of that nature, or just enormous amounts of time.
Well, anything that dies is going to have gases develop in it. And so what makes these minks so special to where their gases made them float through 6 feet of dirt to the surface?
And then the first reaction is not, oh, well, it's just the gases. But their reaction is, let's dig all of them up. All, it was an enormous amount. 17 million mink. Let's dig up 17 million mink and burn them is the next reaction. Not, well, a couple are going to rise here and there just because of the gas. I would think that would be like, just let it be, just, you know, toss those ones away if that's all it is. Why, where is this? And we all know you shoot a zombie in the head, but I guess burning might work. I don't know.
Well, you can't really stab 17 million mink.
Yeah, you really can't, can you? So, what the hell do you think is going on?
Something they're not telling us the whole truth about.
Yeah.
Honestly.
It's like zombie shit.
Yeah, and you know, I enjoy zombie shows. I don't believe that that's going to happen. But when you read stuff like this, it makes you wonder because... since when do bodies bloat so much that they come back up through the dirt? And if somebody knows of a story or if I'm totally off base, please educate me. It will make me feel better because right now I'm thinking we're on the verge of a mink zombie apocalypse. And I don't really want to deal with that shit right now because I already feel like drinking anyway. So
a mink zombie apocalypse.
Yeah.
We have to like watch out because there's these mink that are... zombies wandering
or animals
the streets.
That get it, then they come back. I mean, Pet Sematary is not a movie I can watch, so I don't want to live it.
God, yeah. I mean, it is kind of like that, too. They're back, but they're a little different.
So that's... I want to know what's really going on.
It doesn't say they're like up and running around, but they're rising to the top.
And it doesn't say other animals are digging them up. That's why you bury them so far down.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm not making this shit up. It's all over the news. You guys can, or, you know, who knows? By the time this airs, we may be full-fledged, have all kinds of animals being zombies. Who the hell knows? Because it's fucking 2020.
You're right. It's just sentences that I never thought we'd be saying on our ghost show. But
I wish we had made a bingo board of absurd things. Who had zombie mink in 2020?
Yeah.
Along with finding alligators while you're deer hunting in Minnesota.
Yeah, hey, that happened too.
Yeah.
The two-headed, the hammerhead worm.
Oh, the snake worms down in Georgia?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're poisonous if you pick them up.
Yeah. Same as the puffer. They have the pufferfish, whatever bacteria on them that, mm-hmm. that is extremely lethal. Yeah, it's just been a year of what the fuck? Kind of like biblical weird shit.
Yeah.
So there you go. So zombie mink kids, if you have a zombie mink story, 855-853-4802.
Well, when they said the dead will rise, did they specify that it would not be mink?
I don't know. It just said that I don't have the passages in front of me, but it was talking about the dead rising. But you're right. That may be the part that maybe we missed out on was the species that are coming back. We also assume it's people. Maybe it starts with mink and then eventually goes to people coming back. Well, 2021 could be a good sequel. Who knows?
I am totally going to go Carol on The Walking Dead. That is who I'm going to be if this shit gets worse. How about you? Who would you be? Or would you have a stick and be like a Morgan?
No, I'd be shooting shit. I would not be.
Or would you be a Negan? It'd be pretty hot if you'd be a Negan. I'd buy you a baseball bat.
I think for my, I would be more, I wouldn't be like creating an army of people, but I would be defending my property like a Negan.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would do. I wouldn't be like.
Would you wear the leather jacket?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. And the baseball bat and. That's what I would be doing on my property. I wouldn't be recruiting armies of people, though.
Okay. Well, I'm not cutting my hair like Carol's, but I will totally just...
That's good, because I like your hair.
Well, I would do whatever Carol would do. That would be my bracelet. What would Carol do?
And not Carol Hughes, who is on the show, but
no, who
Carol,
I adore, yeah, and who is too nice. No, I'm talking about the badass Carol on
The Walking Dead.
Yeah. She just does what needs to be done.
Yep.
It's been that kind of a day, folks. I'm sorry.
2021 is only weeks away. Who knows what the sequel will bring? 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first letter. It says, hey there, I don't really expect the story to see the light of day, but I figured I would share my story with you. I've not told the story to anyone but a few friends I know would not just shut me down, not listen. Anyway, here is my story to the best of my memory. I'll try and be as detailed as I can. I apologize ahead of time for my grammatical errors and if this is hard to read at times. For you, the listener, to better understand my story, it's important that I take you in a bit on who I am and what my living situation is like. My name is Curtis. I'm a 24-year-old, as a 2020 college student. My mother and father divorced when I was a young man, and my father left my state when I needed him the most. I live with my mother in Houston, Texas, alone most of the time. I've had a few experiences, but this story is the scariest and most surreal. I'll try my best to describe it. A few years ago, I was the only one awake in my home, or at least the only one awake. Naturally, I am a loner. But tonight, I did not want to be. The weather was intense, not like a hurricane, but it was a consistent thunderstorm. I stayed up for some time, taking a shower and just getting ready for bed, when I started to notice the power was going out, often due to what I believe is the storm. It went out numerous times for me to come to that conclusion. I went to bed after brushing my teeth and climbed into my bed. My bedroom layout is a bit interesting in the way that my bedroom door is usually wide open to the far left. To the right lays my bed, and leaning long ways against the wall under the large wide window. The power went out again while I was in bed, or maybe twice, and after the second time in my bed, I just decided it was a waste to reset the digital clock. This is where it gets weird and still bothers and scares me to this day, what happened next. When I sleep, I generally turn to my left and rest my head under the pillow just to get myself ready. And then I proceed to flip over a few times with my eyes mostly closed to find the right spot and get into the right feel of things. Tonight was not bliss. I turned over as normal for me and closed my eyes and such when I heard the power shut off with my own ears audibly and feeling it. That is not a big deal. A couple of minutes pass after the power returns, and out of the blue, the power shuts off three times in a matter of what felt like a minute, but could have been really just 30 seconds. Even as I type this now in my bedroom, years later, I notice my light bulb dimming once or twice. Take that how you will. One after the other. But each time the power went out, I audibly heard a large rush of air like a swoosh pass right over my body. Thank God my eyes were closed when it happened. To be frank, it scared me. But here is the thing. After the third consecutive time the power went out, even with a raging thunderstorm, the power did not go back out that night. For the skeptics out there, my window has no openings. Nothing in my room or anywhere near my room could create a loud, audible motion of air moving three times in three large gusts. I've seen a lot of things in my lifetime, but nothing has scared me more than what I've told you. I hope you like my story. Just dim the light again and up your listeners, if this makes the show, enjoyed my story. Bonus story. I want to end this post on a happy note. A pleasant experience I had when I was depressed and truly feeling alone. I went to bed just feeling completely alone and sad, and I had an incredible emotional dream. I met this woman that was just completely white and angelic. I was not afraid of her or anything in the dream, but she talked to me. She told me in jest that it's going to be okay and you're not alone. That's how I took her words to be. She did not seem familiar whatsoever, but I believe she watches me. When I get out of line or act like an asshole too much, I think she speaks to me in my mind and hushes me. I found a necklace in Hawaii that I thought was incredibly beautiful, but the thing is, I found it under a seat waiting for the airplane to arrive. I looked at it and thought it looked cool, but I just got this really strong sensation. I was meant to find it. I was meant to grab it and take it home with me, and I did. It sits by my nightstand. People do not generally ask about it when I wear it. Maybe there's a reason. That's beyond human understanding. I consider myself a kind person. It sounds like I've affected someone.
I think there's a reason that a lot of ghost stories start with it was a dark and stormy night.
Mm-hmm.
And not just because the setting is scary, but because I think a lot of paranormal stuff gets stirred up when there's the electrical and there's the electricity in the air and the, you know, water effect of rain and things like that. I think a lot more paranormal stuff happens then. Mm-hmm. So I'm not surprised that with the power flickering, you know, or the power surges or however they described it, that something may have been there.
Yeah.
So that doesn't surprise me. And I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't write it off as just, oh, it's my imagination. I mean, something obviously made those, I guess, breezes, for a lack of a better term, happen.
Sure. I think something was definitely going on there. I understand not wanting to share it with anybody. I say, hopefully, by getting it off your chest here, that was a bit of a relief, but I think you had something that was going on.
Yeah.
As far as who or what or why, I don't know. Maybe it is connected to that thing that may be watching over you. It's really hard to know. Thanks for sharing that with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our next one. It says, hello, my name is Tanya, and I wanted to share a couple of stories with you that I've experienced. My first story happened when I was around 5 or 6. My mother was a young mom with 2 kids. She dated this creep who ended up moving in with us. Long story short, she molested me and tried to kill my little brother by feeding him rat poison. After beating my mom several times, she finally left and moved into a new place with a different man. I remember being so scared that this man would hurt us too. The first night of staying there, my little brother and I slept in the same bed. He slept closest to the door so that if anyone came in, they could not get me. I remember trying to sleep but not being able to. Eventually, I dozed off and something woke me. When I woke up and looked at the door, there was a big, bright, orange, golden light. In that light stood the biggest lion with glowing, floating hair. He stood there in our doorway as if he were guarding it. He lay down in the doorway and never budged. The light was so bright. I immediately felt safe and peace. I laid down and woke to him being gone. I was never afraid again. My second story was just a few years back. My mom was dating a car salesman. They got serious and he cheated, so they broke up. After a few months, she had agreed to go on a date with him. The date goes well. They end up back at his place. He wants to make out and things get steamy, but my mom gets up and tells him no. Goes to the bathroom, and while in the bathroom, she hears him making a horrible snoring noise. She yells at him from the bathroom to stop, but that sounds disgusting. He does not. And so she comes back to find him having a massive heart attack. There's nothing she can do. And he dies in her arms. My mom is devastated. A few days pass, and my mom cannot get the feeling that it's her fault out of her head. I pray that night that God gave me a sign to comfort my mom. As I was sleeping, her boyfriend came to me in a dream. He's pointing to the top of the cabinets in his kitchen and some wicker baskets. It infuriates me. I scream at him, "What?" He stands there pointing at these stupid baskets. Then he says, "Tell your mom I'm sorry. I love her, but I had to go." Still while pointing at these baskets, I scream at him, "No, you tell her. She thinks this is her fault." He still is pointing at these baskets, shakes his head, "No," and says, "Tell her I'm sorry. I love her, but I had to go." I wake myself up mad as all get out. Then it dawns on me. I must tell my mom. I hesitated to tell her such nonsense. I waited until around 8 that morning to call her. I was so scared it would push her over the edge. She answered and I said, "Mom, your boyfriend came to me in my dream and he had a message he wanted me to tell you." So I tell her what happened and at the end I tell her, "And Mom, I was freaking mad because the whole time he was pointing at the dang stupid wicker baskets." She burst out laughing insanely. All I can think was, she is lost. And she says, "How do you know?" I said, "What are you talking about?" She said, "Last night his son came over and we were standing in the kitchen trying to figure out what we were going to do with all those wicker baskets." I lived 2 hours from where they were. Not really a ghost story, I guess, but interesting nonetheless. Thank you for allowing me to share my stories. I love your podcast.
So the wicker baskets just served as kind of proof that, you know, it wasn't just a dream, that it was an actual visit because of what was going on.
Yeah, I mean, she wouldn't have knowledge that the wicker baskets were right there, that they were just talking about them the night before. Mm-hmm. But the fact that they all showed up in the dream and made her, you know, it was that the physical element of it that came to be that really solidified it being more than just a dream.
And see, I thought it was going to totally go down the path of there was something in the wicker baskets that either caused him to have the heart attack, or there was like a, you know, something, some present or something for her, mm-hmm. hidden up there or something like that. But I like how it ended up being just proof that it was, you know, it was really him.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was very straightforward and just the simplest way to let the other side know I'm here. And this was, in fact, me. Thank you for sharing that. 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Next letter says, hello, my name is Rebecca from Dallas, Texas. I've been listening to you guys for about 2 months now and finally had the courage to write to you ever since I was young. I've had experiences in my mom's house. Her house is very haunted. I don't know the backstory to the house. I'm scared to research it, but here are a few of my experiences. So I was having, I think, my 10th birthday party and I got upset and ran into my room and turned the lights off, closed my door and covered myself with my blanket as I was laying there. All I remember is having the feeling like someone else was in the room with me all of a sudden. I felt pressure on the top of the blanket like someone was crawling on top of me. I could hear breathing. So I started screaming for someone to come and turn the light on, someone to help me, but no one came. So finally I summoned up the courage, went out of my room, and when I did, I went to my mom asking why she didn't come help me. She said she never heard me screaming. I don't know how she didn't. She was literally in the room next to me. That's one thing I can't explain. My next story, I was about 15 years old and I just come back from my friend's house. I was alone at home, which I didn't know at the time. So I went to my mom's room, sat on the bed. And as I'm sitting there, I hear the silverware drawer open and close. You know, when you hear silverware, it's like a distinctive sound. I heard that. Called out, hello, who's home? And no one answered. So I finally called my mom and siblings to see if they're home. No one was home. So I got my stuff and ran back down to my friend's house. My last story is actually my mom's story. This happened a couple of months ago. My mom's room is set up to where she has two end tables on each side of her bed, a dresser on the left side and a bookshelf on the right side. She also has a chair on the left corner of her room. Me and my mom always talk about paranormal stuff. So we were on the phone and I said, I have some sage. Why don't I sage your house? So I get to her house and she tells me she's been waking up at night seeing a lady sitting in her chair in the corner of the room. Ever since we've saged it, it's felt different in that house, a lot lighter and brighter. My mom thinks all spirits are gone, but she collects vintage paintings and books. I went to her house a week ago and was in the kitchen making food for myself. She's in the living room and out of the corner of my eye, I see a little girl in a white dress pass by in the hallway. I don't know if it's the books or if it's the paintings she keeps bringing in her house, but that house has always felt weird to me. But that's all for now. Thank you for taking the time to read my story. Sorry it's so long. I have many more experiences, so I'll probably write to you again. I love the podcast so much. Keep doing what you're doing. It's definitely amazing what you guys do. It's kind of like an outlet for all of us with experiences.
I think pictures are one of the things, like paintings, one of the things that I think can hold the most energy out of all antiques. What do you think?
I think if it's a picture that was looked at frequently, cherished, maybe put on a wall, mm-hmm. had a lot of energy around it when you looked at it. I don't know so much about, you know, it's in an album and in a drawer in a box somewhere yeah. that you looked at like every 10 years.
But like an old oil painting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's something that people feel very, very passionately about. Mm-hmm. You know, it's art. It's things like that, I think, can easily hold energy. And so, yeah, my long-winded answer is yes.
Okay. Because I think so, too, especially after this year and some of my experiences with art. So, yeah, I would think that, you know, it could be something that the mom brought home that could have something tied to it. Mm-hmm.
I definitely agree. It's just trying to determine what is in fact tied to it. Mm-hmm. You know, is it good? Is it evil? What exactly is there? 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's go to a caller. Hi.
Hey, Todd. Tommy and Jenny. This is Summer. I called before. I referred to myself as Summer in Florida, but in the last year, my husband and I moved back to where he grew up in Buffalo, New York. And we just bought a house, and the house is about almost 200 years old. It was built in 1825, and it's on 5 acres, and it's gorgeous. We're absolutely in love. But there's been some interesting things going on in the home, and I just wanted to share with you one of the stories of something that happened to me just yesterday, actually. And I kind of had a little tumble down the stairs, no big deal. I kind of overextended my knee, and I'm fine. But I was sitting on the couch, and my older daughter and my mother went to the grocery store to do some shopping for me. And so I was home. It was just me, my 8-month-old, who had already been put to bed, and my 7-year-old was upstairs playing in her room. And I was sitting on the couch. I didn't have the TV on because I liked the quiet, and I was just kind of reading email on my computer. All of a sudden, to give you an idea of how it's set up, the old farmhouse is like a big rectangle with an upstairs and a downstairs. And there have been 2 additions throughout the years. To the left of the rectangle, if you're looking top down, is our kitchen, which didn't used to be the kitchen. It used to be part of the original house, and it was the living room area, common area or whatever. And then to the left of that is another new extension, kind of a Frankenstein house, and another reason why we love it. But to the left of that is what we call it's kind of the entryway that we come in from where we park, and it's kind of a foyer/laundry room, because laundry's in there as well. But it's an actual room, and it's an extension. So while I'm sitting there, I can't see that area from where I'm sitting on the couch. But while I was sitting there on the computer, all of a sudden I heard the door open, and I heard rustling, like people carrying in grocery bags. And I thought my mom and my daughter had returned home. And as I was sitting there, all of a sudden I heard my mom say to me, "Come over here." And so I kind of hobbled up, and it took me a minute. But when I went to look through the kitchen into that area, there was nobody there. And kind of threw me for a minute. I called my mom on the phone, and I said, "Mom," I said, "where are you?" She's like, "Well, we're still at the store." So they weren't even home, and my son was asleep. My 7-year-old, I mean, she could have made the noise, sure, but it sounded exactly like my mother's voice. So I don't know what it is. I don't know what it could have been, but I just thought I'd share that story. And with being a 200-year-old home, I think if anything else happens, I'll definitely give you guys a call. But hope you have a good day. Thanks.
So full disclosure, I would love to have a property like that, but I'm terrified to have a property like that. But we looked at one when we were looking for mm-hmm. the one we found.
Yeah.
And it was built in 1857. And I always wonder now when I drive by it, because it's still for sale. I'm like, what all is there? You know, what all lives there?
Had that house been on this setting,
we would have bought it.
I would have seriously considered it. It was a weird ass house.
It needed a lot because it had been added on to so many times. Yeah. And here's the strangest thing about it. Okay.
The leopard print carpet?
No, that was just awesomeness. And that was wool carpet. So that shit had a lot of life left. That wasn't going anywhere. But here's the thing. The house was originally called the Benton House.
Mm-hmm.
So out of brick on the side that faced the main road was in different colored brick, a giant B.
Yeah.
For Brewski.
Yeah.
And I was like, how perfect would that be?
Yeah.
But
it was also in an area with a lot of development going on around it. And it's going to be subdivision central soon. And I would actually, I guess if you own the land and the the house didn't come with a barn and everything. The barn was awesome, but that was somebody else's.
The barn was so cool. Yeah. I mean, it had cupolas that were just out of this world. I've never seen cupolas like those.
I think if the barn had been part of the deal, I would have been more considerate on it. It just didn't have the land that we wanted for animals.
Well, it did.
It did?
It did. It had like 10 acres.
No, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. And it had a lake the shape of a guitar.
That was a weird part.
But that would have been fine for cattle.
Sure. It's the amount of work.
Yeah, that would have required a ton of remodeling. I mean,
beyond what we've ever done. I mean, we've done a lot.
It would have been the Branson house times probably three.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the hard part is I would want to put it back using things original to the period.
Yeah.
So it would take that much longer because I wouldn't just go in. I mean, you can go in and redo a house easily with new stuff.
And modernize it. But
I would have so much respect and reverence for the property that I would want to go back with as close as I could find to what would have been there originally.
To try and restore it to its original feeling, not like, oh, let's knock out all these walls and make it more open concept.
No.
It would be more, let's make these rooms. The thing is, with it though, with it being built onto so many times in so many different eras, how would you make that feel cohesive? Because so many of the areas, you know, well, this was clearly the 1940s, this was the 60s, this was the 80s, this was the 90s, this was 2000s. I mean, you could tell which era each room was built in based on the era.
And what I would have done with that is I would have taken it all back to a functional 1857 feel.
Okay, so the whole thing, the rooms that had been quote-unquote 1980 modernized.
Yeah, like the 1989 kitchen with all the fluorescent lighting and everything, I would have tried to have made feel like an antique kitchen, but functional.
I get you. So some areas go back in time. Some areas go forward in time.
Not really.
Not really forward. Everything goes back.
Yeah, everything would go to where it felt like maybe the home had been that way from the beginning.
I thought I had found a secret room on the house.
You probably did.
I accessed it through the roof. Mm-hmm. And who says that when they're visiting a house for sale? And literally, I was wandering around and I kind of got lost. And I went up this spiral staircase that was on the outside of the house, kind of just in its own little area. I'm like, where does this go? It was like playing Resident Evil, but in real life. And then I walked across the roof in a big flat, like kind of almost patio area on the roof that had windows that looked down into some part of the house. And then a door and that went into like another room. And I'm like, is there any other way to access this? Because I couldn't figure it out yet. But then, yes, there in fact was. There was another staircase in the main part of the house, the original part of the house, that went straight, that went up to that area. But then I think that part was built on at another point in time. So there was two access points to it. But it was just so bizarre to have this roof access. It was just weird.
It was Winchester-ish.
Very much so. Very, very much so. Now, I still think about that house and
I couldn't not tour it. The chance for somebody around this area to tour a house that old, and it was all brick and everything, I was like, I told the realtor, I said, chances are we really aren't going to consider this, but it's in our price range and I want to see it.
After seeing the amount of work that would be done, I think anyone that looks at that house, and that's why it's probably still in the market, realizes they need to drop that price by a couple hundred thousand dollars for anyone to consider it, because that's how much you're gonna have to put into it to make it just probably safe. And there were parts that were in okay shape or good shape, really. But there were parts where you're like, oh, this is probably like you're gonna need all new electric or something, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things I'd be scared of. But if we were to do it, I would do it at the right price. But it was like, it was a neat house. I really liked the kitchen, or not the kitchen, but the dining room.
Yeah.
It was a big formal dining, like huge. And it had such a weird, interesting, it was almost like a mid-century feel to it.
Yeah, and that's probably what you liked about it, and that would have been dead. I would have killed that.
Yeah.
That would have gone back to, it would have been wainscoting and all kinds of antique pictures and portraits of people that we don't know.
It would have been cool. I mean, it had a neat fireplace in there that separated some, it was just such an interesting house.
It just, with the bee on there, I was like, it's literally calling us. Yeah. We got to go see this.
Yeah. I'm sure it's, there's a spirit or two in there, I would think. I don't know.
I would think. I mean, it had front row seat to watch the whole battle.
God, it's just, that was a cool house. That really was. But there you go.
Yeah.
855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We would love to hear them. That's going to wrap up today's episode of the show. If you like it, keep us on the air, become an extra podcast person, an EPP, sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/real ghost stories. Help keep us on the air and get all those bonus episodes of the show. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.